Many people in today's society are searching for hope. Maybe you're one of them. Are you facing a hopeless situation? Well, next on Daily in the Word, we're going to share with you that hope is still alive. Stay with us. Hope is still alive, regardless of the questions, regardless of the uncertainty that we may have in our lives. Hope is alive in Jesus Christ. Welcome to today's edition of Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell. Paul Chappell is the senior pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the founder and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Every Monday through Friday, we open God's Word together, and today we're going to find hope. If you'd like to find out more about Daily in the Word or Pastor Chappell's ministry, or if you'd like to subscribe to our daily podcast or devotional free of charge, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Our current series is entitled Hope is Alive. We're rediscovering that we can always find hope in Jesus Christ. Here's Pastor Chappell to introduce today's message.
Today we continue our series, Hope is Alive. And I'm looking forward to sharing God's hope from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, here on Daily in the Word. Let me remind you, friend, that our hope in Christ is an eternal hope, and we do not have hope simply for the time here on this earth, but for all of eternity as well. I pray today that you'll be encouraged about God's unchanging love. And we welcome all of our listeners today on the CSN network. We look forward to hearing how God's hope comes alive in your heart through the Daily in the Word broadcast.
I'm simply saying to you this morning, you don't have to keep yourself saved. It's not something that you have to do or earn of your own. Sometimes we're in relationships and we feel like, boy, if I don't do one more thing right, I'm going to lose this relationship. And we stay in the relationship based upon fear and apprehension. But God says, that's not the basis of my love. My love is unconditional. And I keep you by my power. The word there in verse 5, the word power is the dunamis, the dynamite power of Almighty God. And he says, I want you to know that I'm keeping you eternally. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Did you hear that? Jesus said, no one's going to take my children out of my hand. Jesus said, I'm going to keep you. And I'm telling you this morning, our emotions are up and down, but the scriptures are unchanging. And we have an eternal hope today because hope is found in the Bible. And when someone asks you if you know that you're on your way to heaven, I pray this morning that you have scriptural backing to show why you know that you have this eternal hope in Jesus Christ. But notice, not only is our hope found in the scriptures, but notice secondly this morning, there is hope in salvation. We have hope in salvation. Now please listen very carefully, because a lot of people go to church who are not saved. Some people go because they're in a custody battle. Some people go because they're overcoming drugs. Some people go because mama said and because daddy said. People go to church for a lot of different reasons. But my friend, being in this church right now will not make you a Christian any more than walking into your garage will make you a car. Any more than joining the Elks Club will make you an elk. You get the thought. It's not about being in a church. It's about being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now notice what the Bible says back in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. We have hope in his salvation. It says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So this trust that they placed in Christ was based upon the gospel. And we see then that there is hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now the gospel is explained, and in your notes you'll see the verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, notice this phrase, and wherein ye stand. This is not about church membership. This is about your standing in Christ, verse 2, by which also ye are saved. Listen, you don't mind if we use Bible terms in church. Are you saved? Hollywood a few years ago made a movie called Saved, and they mocked the term. I'll tell you something, they will not mock that term when they stand at the judgment seat of Christ, at the great white throne judgment. They'll not mock that term. It's a Bible term. Now notice that, if you would, 1 Corinthians 15, 1, verse 2. By which ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I've preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the Scriptures. Now that's the gospel, my friend. Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again. And Paul says, when you heard that, then you put your hope and faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, our missionaries this morning are around the world, and we support 180 missionaries. This church sent nearly $1 million last year to various missionary projects. But the primary focus of those missionaries is getting the gospel message of Jesus Christ everywhere possible so that men and women and boys and girls can be saved. You see, the hope is found not in teaching people in Thailand how to plant rice, though that's helpful, but there is hope in the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's the most important work of the church, getting the gospel message around the world. There is hope in the gospel. Notice, secondly, there is hope in the gift of God. Now, the great thing about the gospel is that it is a gift to mankind from God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Sin separates us from God. But the gift of God is eternal life. Are you saved? Do you have eternal life? The gift of God is eternal life. Notice what it says in Romans 6:23. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Eternal life is not a gift from a church. It is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. My friend, if you're here this morning and you have never accepted Christ as Savior, how I would urge you today to turn to Him and Him alone and receive His gift of salvation and forgiveness. There is hope in this gift. You say, well, I just think I've got to do some more things, and I've got to stop smoking and drinking and cussing and all these things. And those are all wonderful things to stop doing. But you don't have to stop doing those things to be saved. But you must receive Christ in order to be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby ye must be saved. And the only way to be saved is to trust Christ as our Savior. Moody was speaking about the thief on the cross. You remember when Jesus was crucified, there was a thief on either side. One rejected and one received. D.L. Moody said of that thief on the cross, he said the thief had nails through his hands. He could not work for the church. He had a nail through each foot, so he could not run errands for the Lord. He could not lift a hand or a foot towards his own salvation. Yet Christ offered him salvation as the gift of God, and he took it, and Christ gave him a passport to paradise because he put his faith in Jesus Christ, who was there shedding his blood on the old rugged cross. Oh, thank God for that. Thank God that in Christ we have salvation. You see, salvation is not something we achieve. It is something we receive. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is hope in the gospel. There is hope in the gift of salvation. And then notice, thirdly, there's hope in the guarantee of the gospel. I like to buy something that's guaranteed, don't you? A lot of times these days people sell things as is, you know. But God says, when you accept my gift, I've got a guarantee with this gift. Look at it in verse 13, please. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, notice this, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now we're going to study that again in just a moment. But this is God's guarantee. It's his seal. It's the seal of his Holy Spirit that's placed upon the heart and life of a true believer. And God says, once you're saved, I want you to know it's settled, it's sealed. You can know that you're saved. You don't have to walk around wondering, does he love me or he doesn't love me? God says it's a sealed and settled situation. Now think about the words of 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life. Now listen very carefully. If you have to have last rites or just one more communion or get baptized one more time in the Baptist church to hope that you're going to go to heaven, you do not know that you're on your way to heaven this morning. You hope that you might go, but you do not know. You say, Pastor Chapel, Baptists are so just confident about it and brazen about it. It's not, my friend, because I'm a Baptist. It's because God says you can know it. Why don't you go ahead and settle that thing today? God doesn't want you to live a life of insecurity, fear, and hearing the accusations of Satan. He wants you to know. Listen to 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is truth, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You see, there is hope in his salvation. It's hope that is found in the gospel and the free gift of the gospel and the guarantee of the gospel that we can know that we have everlasting life. We're talking today about eternal hope. We're talking today about a hope that will never, ever end. Now notice then, thirdly, if you would, not only the hope that is found in the scriptures, not only the hope that's found in the cross, but thirdly now, the hope that is found in his spirit. In his spirit. Someone that is truly born again has the Spirit of God living within them. And that's not some spooky, sensational concept. It's a wonderful reality for the born-again Christian. Now let's see this again in verse 13, please. In whom ye also trusted, speaking of Jesus, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now I accepted Christ as my Savior as a 10-year-old boy in San Jose, California, kneeling down in my parents' room, and I prayed to accept Christ as my Savior. I was born April 23rd, but I was born again April 5th, 1972. Now, that's the day that I was born again. You may not remember the date, but if you're saved, you'll remember where that took place because it's the most important decision of your life, accepting Christ as your Savior. And I accepted Christ as my Savior, but all I knew at that time was that I was a sinner who fell short of God's glory. Jesus shed his blood for my sin and rose up again. And the Bible says, if you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I prayed to receive Christ as my Savior, and he saved me at that very moment. Now, I did not realize all the ramifications of salvation. For example, I did not know that the Holy Spirit at that moment indwelt my life. I did not know the Holy Spirit sealed me eternally at that very moment. But that is exactly what took place when I made that decision. And I might add, we will spend all of our lives here, and for all of eternity, we will learn and understand and glory in the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll learn more and more of the wonderful love of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says in verse 13, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So we have hope in the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean when it says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise? I want to give you three works of the Holy Spirit that take place in your life when you get saved. First, the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. The word sanctifies means he sets us apart. We are indwelt and owned by the Lord Jesus. And the sealing or sanctifying is done by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, John 3, you've read John 3. The Bible says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you what? Must be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, there's the physical birth, there's the spiritual birth. April 23rd, 1962, April 5th, 1972. Physical, spiritual. And when you are born spiritually, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life. And the Bible says he seals you. It doesn't happen later on, as some have said. Romans 8 and verse 9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Jesus Christ, he is none of his. In other words, you don't get Jesus one day and the Spirit 3 years later with some exciting healing service. No, you receive the Spirit of God at the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. We are born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and he sanctifies us at that very moment. We are set apart by his Spirit. Now, what a blessing it is to be positionally set aside, and then we progressively grow in a sanctified life. I heard of a man that was talking to a young lady who wanted to be a member of a church. This particular church had sort of a committee, and you'd go before the committee, and they'd ask you questions to make sure you were saved and so forth. And so they said to this young lady, they said, now, were you a sinner before you accepted Christ as your Savior? She said, well, of course. She said, I was a sinner. That's why I got saved. They said, well, are you still a sinner? And the lady was a little surprised, young lady. She said, well, I'll tell you the honest truth. Sometimes I feel like I'm a worse sinner now. And he said, well, then, have you experienced any real change since your salvation? She said, I don't know how to really explain this to you, sir, except to say it this way. Before I got saved, I was a sinner running towards sin. But now that I'm saved, I'm a sinner running away from sin. And what she was describing was the fact her appetites had changed, her direction had changed. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passing away, all things have become new. And so the Holy Spirit does that work of setting us apart, and he indwells us at the moment of salvation. Secondly, his Spirit seals us. The Holy Spirit seals us. Now look at verse 13 there in the text, Ephesians 1:13. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit of God seals us. Now again, when we're saved, the Spirit indwells us. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? The Bible speaks of the fact that our body is the residing place of the Spirit of God, who is omnipresent. How many of you are thankful he can be with all of us at the same time? All right. Now then, he comes into our life, he sanctifies us, and he seals us. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Let me try to explain that as we finish this morning. In Bible times, whenever somebody purchased an item, the seal was that which was placed upon the document or the item signifying ownership. So when I accepted Christ as my Savior, my heart and life was sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, just as in Bible times, the king or the owner of a company or a business would seal something to say, this is mine, it belongs to me. For example, in the Holy Land, much of the lumber was grown and perhaps still is in Lebanon, and there were forests with cedar wood and other kinds of wood. And they would cut this lumber and they would take it out to the Mediterranean and they would float it down along the seashore until it got down into other parts of the world and other countries. And what they would do is they would wrap that wood with some rope, and then they would seal some of those logs with a seal signifying who had purchased it, that it belonged to them until it got to its destination. Hear me today. When Jesus saved you, you were sealed by his Spirit, signifying you belong to him until you get to your destination. And your destination is not Palmdale or LA, all right? We'll get to that in just a moment. We're talking about eternal hope right now. And so the Bible says that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We have eternal security because we have an eternal word, an eternal gospel, an eternal seal from the eternal Holy Spirit of God. His Spirit sanctifies, his Spirit seals, and then finally, his Spirit secures us. His Spirit secures us. Now, look at Ephesians 1:14, please. Speaking of the Holy Spirit seal, it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, if you're a Christian right now, you are a part of the purchased possession. You have been purchased by Jesus. What was the price he paid? His blood. We have been redeemed, Ephesians 1:7, by his blood. Now then, he says, I have given an earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of his purchased possession. Here it is. Many young people in our church, many young couples, the last few months have been buying their first home. I remember a few years ago when prices were so high, I wondered, how in the world are these young couples going to ever buy a home? And while there have been many difficulties and tragedies of the real estate market, perhaps one nice little thing has been some young people have been able to buy a home. And some of them have come in for counseling, and it's an enlightening time when you tell them, well, to buy a home, you have to have something called a down payment. Really? It's the earnest money you've got to have. And you explain to them about saving for that and begging their parents. And no, you don't tell them that. But but you kind of help them understand they have to get ready for that. And what they're doing is they're putting down an earnest deposit, and they're saying, with this earnest deposit, I give my word that I will, at the end of this, claim this as my complete possession. And God says that when we are saved, the Holy Spirit is given as the seal, as the earnest, and He will never break His word. And He says it is until the redemption of His purchased possession. He says, from the time you are saved until the time you're raptured off of this planet, or the time He calls you home, until that time, you are settled in your security. You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of your redemption. I think of a verse that helped me so much to understand my eternal hope. When I was in my early 20s trying to figure all this out and wanting my faith to be resting in the Word of God, not my emotions. And I remember coming to 2 Timothy 1:12, and I share it with you this morning. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. You see, Paul said, I know whom I have believed. It wasn't the Pope. It wasn't some preacher. It was Jesus. He said, I know whom I have believed. Notice, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Remember when the Bible said that we are kept by the power of God. No one can pluck us out of the hand of God. We are persuaded that He is able to keep that which we have committed. In other words, my friend, salvation is all of God. It's a promise that we can trust. It's a promise that we can know. We don't have to keep ourselves saved. We are sealed. It is settled. We have a promise from Almighty God. And our eternal hope is based on these three eternal and immutable principles. Number one, the principle that the Word of God is eternal and trustworthy. Number two, the principle that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the shedding of the blood, and the death, burial, and resurrection is what gives us our hope today. And finally, the third principle is the presence of the Holy Spirit of God who seals us until the day of redemption. My friend, don't go by your emotions like so many Christians who feel saved and they get high on Jesus one day and they're depressed the next day. It's like they're flashing back to their pre-salvation days in their drug culture. Feeling high one day, not so high the next day. God doesn't want you to be a roller coaster Christian. He wants you to know that you have eternal hope that never changes, and that hope is based on His word, on His gospel, and on His Spirit. And if you have never accepted Christ as Savior, I challenge you this morning, I urge you this morning to come and to receive Jesus today so that you might leave this campus knowing your sin debt is paid, the Spirit of God lives within you, and you have everlasting hope, not because you're so worthy, but because God is so good. And if you have accepted Christ this morning, get off the roller coaster and serve God, not because of your emotions, but because of His goodness and grace to you in saving you.
Friend, have you ever made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You know, Christian growth is the process of a lifetime, but salvation is the miracle of a moment. Even right now, you could come to the Lord by faith and simply say to Him in prayer, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I confess that to You, and I ask You to forgive me and to come into my life and be my personal Savior. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. And if you are willing to turn from yourself, from your false religion, and put faith in Christ alone as your Savior, He promises to forgive your sin and to save you today. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. To all those who have trusted in Christ, we have the wonderful promise of spending our eternity with Jesus Christ. I hope you'll take time to consider God's love and to respond by faith to Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior today.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, and that's Dr. Paul Chappell that's been teaching today in a series entitled Hope is Alive. If you've made that decision to trust Christ, we sure would love to hear from you. Call us or write to us this month and let us know that decision has been made. We'd love to send you a gift Bible and a follow-up resource that will help you grow in your faith. I'll give you that contact information in just a moment. Daily in the Word is the pulpit ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College here in Lancaster, California. You can find out more about our ministry at dailyintheword.org. When you're on the website, you can subscribe to a complimentary daily devotional. You can also consider listening to past broadcasts or recommend a friend to subscribe to the podcast. Daily in the Word can be downloaded to your computer or your iPod and taken with you to listen to on the go. And of course, all of that is free of charge. There's much more on the website that we'll hope to share with you when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Our gift to you this month when you call or write to us is a little booklet entitled Biblical Guidelines for Using the Internet. We want to say thank you for listening, and this little booklet will encourage you and your family members, maybe your children, with biblical principles of how to use the internet and protect yourself from the dangers. Again, Biblical Guidelines for Using the Internet. It's our gift to you when you call or contact us this month. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. Or you can visit dailyintheword.org. Thank you so much for being a part of this edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.